And welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre, and this show is for late January 2023. Today, the global carbon dioxide level is 419.71 parts per million, 419, almost 420 ppm, well above the 350 parts per million we need to get back to as soon as possible. And there's only 2,534 days left until the year 2030. That number keeps going down. Anyway, that's your daily climate fact report. Today, we're joined by our co-host, the author and educator, Ms. Mariah Tinker. How are you doing, Mariah?
Oh, I'm doing very well. And I'm so enthusiastic to talk about the detrimental health effects of gas stoves, but the beauty of induction stoves today.
So, Mariah, a crazy thing has happened recently, which is a cross-cut of cultural, political, technical, scientific, in sheer craziness in the internet age that I thought was worthwhile to try and dissect, because it's this phenomena that we've seen before, we'll probably see again. So let me tell you the story, what happened, what I think happened. Maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong. So on January 9th, earlier this month, well, let me even begin before that. There is this organization the federal government has called the Consumer Products Safety Commission, whose job it is to look out there and see if the consumer products are safe, right, as the name implies. And they have the ability to have hearings and set regulations about what's a safe product and what's not a safe product. And of course, there's a lot of regulation tied up in that. But this Consumer Product Safety Commission has commissioners, strangely enough. And in early January, January 9th, one of those commissioners of the Consumer Product Safety Commission was being interviewed and basically said that, and I have it somewhere in front of me, basically said that the Consumer Product Safety Commission was considering opening comment to hear about the public's concerns about the safety of having a natural gas stove in your kitchen. That is to say, a methane-burning gas stove in your kitchen, which I have, most people in the country have, a gas stove in their kitchen. Why would the Consumer Product Safety Commission even be thinking about gas stoves? Well, there's been a lot of information that's accumulated over the last couple of years, but within the last 2 months or so, there have been two sort of landmark scientific reports. One based out of studies here in Boston that found that there are indeed lots of pollutants that are generated when you burn natural gas to cook your spaghetti, right? When you get up in the morning and make that egg, you're burning natural gas, and that produces nitrous oxide, carbon monoxide, and what are called fine particulates that generate, and that stuff's bad for your lungs. Then there was, and this study was saying that there are additional toxic chemicals that come in with the methane and get into your kitchen, things like benzene. Right? Nobody wants to breathe benzene. Benzene is a bad, bad thing. So you can ask yourself, why should those chemicals be in the natural gas? And I find it a kind of a chilling metaphor, but turn on the gas stove and start flowing gas into the burner in your kitchen, there is a metaphorical tube that goes all the way through your kitchen, out into the street, down through the refineries, all the way to Pennsylvania, and then goes down into a 500-deep-foot hole in the ground, right? There's a continuous track from way underground into your kitchen. And so all of the stuff that is hidden 500 feet down in the ground has a potential to go directly into your kitchen, and you're going to breathe it. So the fact that there's benzene getting into your kitchen from this, it's called natural gas for a lot of reasons, but it comes right out of the ground, right? So that's one study. A second study said that those nitrous oxide and fine particulates cause asthma in children, and that there is something like a 13% increase in the asthma rate for children who have gas stoves in their homes, right? So this pollution that comes from cooking your egg in the morning, in fact, can impact your children's health and give them a contribute to asthma. So anyway, those two scientific facts were what the commissioner of the Consumer Product Safety Commission was talking about when he said, well, we're going to ask for public comment on whether or not these gas stoves should be banned, right? Certainly banned in new construction, right? Or perhaps have a warning label that says there's bad stuff that comes with this gas stove, some indication that they are hazardous to people's health. And what he said was in the actual interview, he said, products that are unsafe should be banned. Okay. And he said a magic word. He said banned, right? Subsequent to that January 9th interview, which we'll put up a link to in the show notes, basically, how else can I say it? But the right wing of our country's politics went crazy, saying that Joe Biden's going to take your gas stove away. I mean, Sean Hannity says they're going to come get your gas stove. Twitter goes crazy saying that the crazy Democrats want to go into your home and take away the gas stove. Ron DeSantis decided he's going to give a tax break to people who buy gas stoves, right? This crazy freak out on the right, you know, and there are symbols, I would say flags of, you know, you'll take my gun for my cold dead fingers. Replace that with you'll take my gas stove for my cold dead fingers, right? In complete craziness. So in the matter of 10 days, this ostensibly public health issue that the federal government is trying to find out about went from a discussion about public health to a crazy political culture war. And there you are. So Mariah, let me stop there. Did you see any of this? What's your take on what happened? I mean,
that's certainly laid out all those facts very well. I think we're not even mentioning that there's climate issues with gas stoves, right? I mean, there's a 2022 study that said the emissions from a gas stove released as much benzene per year as roughly 60,000 cars, right? So, and besides that, there's also big climate effects from gas stoves. We're just talking about health right now, just children's, in particular, children's health, right? Because the asthma cases are, I think that the gas stoves and the asthma is more impactful for children, smaller bodies, more impact, but also, you know, adults as well, you know. And so when we moved into my house, we had a gas stove, and I just, you know, the smell of the gas and the fact that it was connected to something that could explode. I mean, you know, it was safe, but the whole thing just made me, I hated it. And so the first thing we did was rip it out and put in an induction stove. And I love our induction stove. It boils water faster than I can blink, you know. But it's also, you know, the induction stoves are quite amazing. The kids can cook safely on it because you can put your pan on it and the pan will be hot, but you can take the pan away and still touch the stove and not burn yourself because you have to be careful. You shouldn't leave your hand on there for a long time, but it's not like, you know, the metal that gets heated from an electric burner or from a gas burner underneath.
Well, it's the one of these scientific reports. You just said the smell of the gas stove. So if you turn on a gas stove, pretty soon you get this terrible smell. Right? You know, that's the smell of gas. But in fact, that's not the smell of gas. That's something called an odorant that is deliberately added. Okay, one more thing that's deliberately added that you're going to burn up and God knows what it becomes when it burns, right? That odorant is there to protect you in case there's a leak.
Right, so
but
you can
one of
smell
these
it.
Papers says that the amount of odorant in some of the smaller leaks from your gas stove is too small for you to smell.
Oh, wow.
So your gas stove can be leaking a little bit, and you don't get the warning that the odorant is supposed to provide. And now you're breathing raw methane gas in the closed confines of your home. And
I heard that. I read that that's common, that there are definitely, and you know, micro leaks. We're not talking about major leaks that would, you know, catch on fire easily in your house, but just these micro leaks that you end up breathing in.
And if your kitchen is not well ventilated, it just accumulates.
Right. It affects, you know, small houses that have small kitchens or older kitchens that are, or kitchens that are not well ventilated are the ones that are going to be holding all of those toxins in. But it does blow my mind that the health effects are not, it sort of makes me think about like handing my 9-year-old a cigarette and being like, here you go. You know, everybody says this is fine. Go ahead. Right. I mean, you know, like there's scientific evidence that it is toxic and that we should not be using these gas stoves. And I just, to me, that is compelling enough that I would be either go out and switch it or saving my money to switch it at someday when I can.
Well, that then begs the question, is why would the sort of, let's just say, the conservative side of our politics be so intent on misrepresenting that science and using it as a tool? I guess to answer my own question, one of the articles I read said that this current go-around of people using gas, you know, claiming that the government's going to come take your gas stove away and basically mocking the people who are in earnest trying to help for public health service, that is a technique and that it is deliberately designed to reduce people's faith in government and ability to recognize good political sense. And that the article was an article on NPR. It said, this is like a drumbeat, right? Because at the same time that this craziness with the gas stove is going on, we're also all worked up about, you know, what's the gender orientation of the M&M colors, right? The level of discourse is insanely low. And it's not about facts at all. It's about causing outrage in order to get clicks or to have a prevailing political posture. And I guess I'm stuck with, how do you combat such a thing? Because for my mind, it's dangerous that now a lot of people, some significant fraction of the population, are going to carry around the idea that, you know, the government's going to come get my gas stove. And I love my gas stove. And it just makes it harder to do the right thing farther down the path. So I'm stuck as to how to counteract the sort of misinformation.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the key right there. It's misinformation. So you have that coming. There's a lot of misinformation that is swaying people away from induction stoves. For example, people think that they're going to have to throw out all their pots and pans to be able to get these induction stoves, which is most likely when we got ours, we had to replace one pot, and it was this very specialized pot for cooking filled pancakes called Ablescapers, right? And we do it like once a year, you know, it's a holiday tradition. And that was the only pot that didn't work. All the rest of them, you just stick a magnet to it. And if they're stainless steel or they're cast iron or they, you know, so a lot of the pans will have like a specialized base on them, it will work on induction. So most likely you will not have to throw away all of your pots and pans. Most of your pots and pans will probably work on induction, but that concern has certainly blossomed where people are hesitant. They think it's a new technology and it's different and it's alarming. Also, people think that the induction stoves are more expensive, which they might be a little bit, but you can get models that are not.
I think that's going to be coming down. There is a price differential already. But, I mean, as they go into mass production, it has to come down.
Exactly. And I think that I also understand this idea of sort of, you know, wanting to have personal choice don't tell me how I can cook or not cook. I mean, that's a big part of it, right? This like sort of, and you know, I get that. There was a big push by the people who make gas stoves to get famous cooks out there saying, oh, gas stove is far superior to induction. I just can't do the kind of professional quality cooking that I like to do on an induction stove. And that misinformation got out there strongly, right? So people view induction stoves as inferior to gas stoves because there was so much messaging from trusted messengers, these cooks that people look to, who said, nope, induction can't cook as well as gas stoves. And so people want to keep their gas as stoves because of that.
I agree. I think that what that speaks to is the campaign by the gas industry to maintain its position, right? Basically, to beat back the competition by convincing people that cooking with gas is better. And I think, I think also the ability of a topic like this to get traction in the cultural wars is because the word ban was used, right? Banning is basically a strong word. And as you say, cooking, it goes right to the heart of something you do every day, right? And the idea that the way that you cook in your quiet, intimate moments in the kitchen, that's going to be controlled by the government. That is something that can be used to frighten people. And so it's my guess that the best way to counteract these things is all you can do is tell the information. What your testimony that your induction stove is much to be preferred, right? That's the best you can do.
Sure. And I'm not a professional cook by any stretch of the imagination, but I did do some research online, and many cooks, what I found was they actually prefer the induction stoves. And I'm sure it depends, right? Everybody's going to have their different preferences, but the induction stoves don't lose as much heat to the air around it. So they cook a lot cooler. So if you've got a hot kitchen, using an induction stove, which heats, really fast and just as equally as a gas stove will, the transfer of heat to the air is significantly minimized with an induction stove because it's just going right through the contact of the stove to the pan, and so it makes for a lot less heat in your kitchen as well, which is an upside.
I guess that then raises the question of, let's talk for a minute about the way the induction stove works is interesting. And without going into too much detail, there's basically the induction. So the induction plate, if you've ever seen one, is essentially a sheet of glass, right? You're cooking on a sheet of glass, which is extremely easy to clean up. You know, a little Windex, you clean that up and it looks beautiful.
Right? Sorry to jump in, but what you could do is you can actually put a piece of parchment paper on top of the induction, put your pot on the parchment paper. The parchment paper will not burn. It will still work. And you could just pull that up and throw that away, and the whole stove stays clean. So look at that.
It's beautiful. The thing's beautiful. It's a piece of glass. You put the pan down on the piece of glass. And what happens is that inside the induction cook plate, through the magic of science, right, there's this magnetic field that you don't have to worry about. You hit the on button, this magnetic field starts to rotate around, and it induces, which is the physics term, it induces little currents in the bottom of your pan, which are completely safe, but that heat the pan up. So what you have is the pan, the only thing that gets hot is the pan. And it's because it's in proximity to this varying magnetic field. And as you just said, you could put a piece of parchment in there and you would still, the pan would still heat up, right? So that's, and because it is electric, it's extremely precise in the sense that, so now I've got an induction hot plate that I love, right? It's just a, two I call them burners, but two hot spots on the induction plate. The thing that I have offers to set the temperature of the pan, right? So if I want to fry an egg, if I want to fry an egg on a gas stove, I turn it on. I put the gas at about medium. I get a flame. I like to, oh yeah, I like that flame. Okay. I'm going to crack my egg and cook on the induction plate. You could say, I want that temperature to be 250 degrees. And that's the temperature I'm going to cook my egg on in a way that is not available with a gas stove. And I mean, one of the things I'm working on is trying to figure out what's the equivalent temperature of the medium heat with the gas versus the 250 degrees on my hot plate. The beauty is that if you put the medium heat on the pan, on the gas stovetop, the pan is just going to keep heating up until the pan is 1,000 degrees, because it's what you're regulating is the amount of gas, the flame. Whereas if you set a 250 degree number on your pan, the pan is always going to remain at 250 degrees. So you're cooking, you don't burn stuff, because if you want the pan not to overheat, the induction plate is going to keep it at the exact right temperature because it's sensing the temperature of the pan, and it stops that magnetic field, slows it down a little bit if the pan starts to get too hot. I mean, it's beautiful, right?
Yeah.
It seems much more precise ability to cook. You got to learn how to do it. So there's a little bit of a learning curve to be comfortable with it, but I mean, it's a good thing. Do you have a temperature control on your
thing? That's pretty awesome.
There you go. Now I feel like I – plus, well, mine has timers, right? Yours must have a timer so you can set things – which, again, if you want to make rice, right, I can – so what I do is if I want to make rice, I put the water in, and you turn it up to 10, and the water boils in pretty quickly, right? Then you set the temperature of the hot plate to 200 degrees – which is just below the boiling point of 212 degrees of water boils at 212 degrees, set the hot plate to be 200 degrees, never going to boil, put the rice in, set the timer for 45 minutes and walk away. Right?
Yeah, that's
it's great. All going to take care of itself. And you can't do that with a gas stove. I mean, it's
no.
I don't know.
Yeah, they're good products. I'm a fan.
So I think that the take-home lesson from this discussion for me is a couple-fold. One is that as a person who cares about climate, you should be aware that the gas industry, the natural gas industry, is trying to convince you that gas is better. You should beware of all these seductive arguments about how great gas stoves are. The right wing of our politics is trying to take any opportunity to mock climate action because it serves their political purposes of getting clicks and whatnot. Number three is that using a gas stove represents a health hazard in your home, right? There's more information about now about how unhealthy using gas is in your home. And fourthly, there's these gorgeous induction cooktops, right, which work great and don't have this problem of having benzene in your kitchen. And I guess the fifth point is that with the Inflation Reduction Act, you can get some money to help upgrade your home, for example, to a, right? So all, as I said before, all we can do in the face of these sort of culture wars is broadcast the truth and try and reassure people who may be, I don't know, taken aback by the zaniness on the other side.
Yep.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
What are you going to cook next on your induction hot plate, on your induction stove?
Tomorrow I'm going to boil some hot water for my tea, and it will be ready before I can blink. So
get that Constant Comment bag ripped open. And
that's right.
Well, there you go. Well, what we'll do is I'll put up links to some of the craziness around the culture war aspect of this, plus some links about how wonderful induction plates are, induction stovetops are. Don't be scared of them, dear listener. They are quite friendly, and you will ask yourself why you ever cooked with a barbaric open flame gas thing like King Henry VIII rotating a boar on a spit down in the basement of the castle. You'll wonder why you ever use gas. And there you go. That link those links would be on the Mass Climate Action blog, which is, you go to the massclimateaction.org website, look at the banner for newsletter and more, pull that down, find the blog and podcast. We're in there. Keep looking. If you see the donate button, stop there and donate $25. It's a good thing. If you have ideas that we should be talking about, please send us an email to podcast@massclimateaction.net. Let us know what you think is an important thing for us to discuss. You're probably listening to us on your smartphone using one of the modern podcast distribution apps. Please, please ask all of your friends to listen to us on their modern podcast distribution apps. I want to thank our good friend D.R. Tucker for his continuing research support, for all the good stuff that he sends us week after week. We want to close where we always close, by saying that we recognize the necessity of personal accountability for our actions, that we accept responsibility for building a durable future, and that we believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out. Because of that, we have to insist the United States transform its energy sector over the next decade under a just and equitable plan that uses regulation, investments, induction stovetops, and a price on carbon that respects environmental justice communities. So, Mariah, thank you for being here to share your wisdom.
Always a pleasure.
Thanks to everyone for listening. We'll talk again soon. Bye-bye.
Very cool.